thank you, Dwight, for the communion, brother. I always love to hear Dwight share his heart. Don't you? I mean, it just speaks right to me. Thank you. Deb is not here. She is in North Carolina right now. She and my daughter are teaching a class together at the North Carolina Women's Retreat. They're at Ridgecrest, so they should be starting to teach pretty soon right now. But I know she misses being here, but she really loves being there. She's got these two little ones that are running around crazy, and she's having a blast. But I'm behaving myself, and I'm getting through, and I've just got to make it till tomorrow. And so, you know, I think I can do it. You guys just keep praying for me, okay? The place is neat. You see, I use the same dish, the same cup, same knife and fork, same thing for 4 days. I mean, I got stuff growing on it. It's like a petri dish. But I don't have to clean it up anymore, right? Do you realize you sleep on top of your covers and just get a blanket enough to make your bed?
Preach it, bro.
I mean, seriously. Some of the stuff we do is just a waste of time. You know what I mean? So turning over to Acts 2. That's usually a bad thing when you say something like that beginning of a message. It's like it could be a long road ahead of you. Acts 2. Jesus had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. He had been with them in the flesh. And he said, I want you to wait until in Jerusalem and you will be clothed with power from on high. He had been with them in the flesh. He's going back to heaven, but now he's going to come and live within them as the church. And so that happens. They're together. The Holy Spirit comes down. We talked about this last week or the week before last. And comes down and empowers them and draws this crowd of Jewish people from all over the region, different cultures. They traveled far and wide to come to Jerusalem and to worship there at the Feast of Pentecost. And so as they've assembled together, Peter stands up. And just probably in Aramaic, something they all understood, a common language, told them why they had been pulled together and what was going on. And he begins with prophecy from Joel. And he says, what's happening here is no surprise. God had planned this. This is the fulfillment of what was said hundreds of years ago was going to happen. And he begins to explain everything that happened about Jesus of Nazareth and how God raised him from the dead. He was a prophet. He spoke. He performed great signs. But the greatest one of all is God raised him from the dead, proving the ultimate truth that he himself, Jesus, is God. And Peter closes the first part of his sermon in verse 36 with this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That was the whole point of the prophecy in Joel. That was the whole point of the prophecies out of Psalms. That was the whole point of all prophecy, that God has made Jesus Lord and Messiah. He is God of all. God has appeared. So look what happens. When all of the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is an amazing thing that happens. After this miracle, Peter preaches. People go, wow, we crucified God's Lord and Christ. What do? He goes, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says 3,000 responded that day. And so what did the 3,000 do? It says they devoted themselves. And you read about this community here. A community that is a sharing community, a praising community, an awe-inspired community, a community that was growing, but it was a community. I'm going to be 65 next month, in November. Every birthday, for my birthday cake, what Deb does is she gets a pie shell. She looks for shortbread, but if they don't have that, any pie shell will do, okay? She gets chunky peanut butter. It's really important, all right? Then she gets French vanilla pudding. Then she gets Cool Whip. And then she gets powdered sugar. And she gets all of these that are now hers, because she bought them at the store, and she goes into her kitchen. And in a matter of just a little time, what is set before me for a birthday cake is peanut butter pie. And it is awesome. It is beyond awesome. All of this is what she planned, and that's what she set before me. Picture, if you would, she did all of that, and I'm sitting at the chair, and she puts before me calf's liver.
No.
I don't care how many candles you put on that thing. I will turn them upside down, burn it, and offer it to the Lord as a burnt offering. I will not eat that junk, all right? If you're partial toward liver, God bless you. I don't understand you. You can still go to heaven, but I am not eating that junk at all. And I would say to Deb, are you out of your mind? It's supposed to be happy birthday, not throw up birthday, you know, not sick birthday. What are you doing to me? How dare you? Well, honey, I planned, I put the, and this just came, no, something happened. You can't get liver from peanut butter, fresh vanilla pudding, powdered sugar, pie shell, and Cool Whip. It's impossible. Something happened. A humorous story. But you got to understand, there is a point, believe it or not. There is a point. God had planned for peanut butter pie. And what we see in Acts 2 is the peanut butter pie of his people. If we see liver, something's wrong. It's not what he planned. What we see is what Jesus, coming in the way of the Holy Spirit, produces. The type of people he produces. This is what he wanted. This is what Christians are intended to be. This is what's in his mind. This is what the recipe produces. When you do all these things, this happens. If something else happens, it's like, go back. Whoa, what happened? It shouldn't be this way. I think sometimes we find ourselves getting, you know, kind of sucked into the whole secular idea of church. What is the church? Today I want to talk about community. What is it that God really wants? What is it that God produced here? What is it that we need to learn from? Who do we need to become? Because there's a lot of pressure, a lot of influence in all of our lives. We're a group of many cultures here, many different backgrounds, many different experiences, religious or otherwise. Some of us were atheists. Some of us were good religious people. Some of us, but all of this we bring to today, October 6th, and the word church will come to our mind and bring up different images, different ideas. What I want to make sure is, look, let us be approximating the peanut butter pie idea of church that God had planned, that God had cooked up, that Jesus lives in us to produce, and not all of the other ideas that we can come up with. In order to do that, there are two things we need to embrace, two truths from this passage. Number one is that what we read in Acts 2:42 and following is not a surprise. It is no surprise at all. It was always intended. Jesus, 3 years before, 2.5 years before, there in the region of Caesarea Philippi, had asked his disciples a question. You can read about that in Matthew 16. And the question was, who do men say that I am? And they gave a lot of really favorable answers. Ah, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Wow. I mean, real laudatory things. And he goes, but what about you? Who do you say I am? We see what public opinion is, but that's public opinion fluctuates so much. What about you? Who do you say I am? Peter's the first one to answer. He goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when Peter said that, he is saying, you are the fulfillment of everything from that day in Eden when Adam and Eve were driven out, but God said that he was going to provide a way back. Jesus is the culmination of all of that. Everything God's people had gone through, everything the world had gone through, it's come to this point. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. That truth was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. You are a rock. But on this rock, this truth, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. You see, a couple of years before, Jesus already had in mind that he was going to have his church. He said, I will build it. It's not built yet, but I will do it. Now, the word church back then was not a religious word necessarily. It could be. It just meant the word, it's the Greek word ekklesia, meant called together for a purpose. In fact, if you were to go to Acts, the 19th chapter, you will see a riot come about, an assembly come about that wants to go after Paul. You know what that riot is called? It's called a church. It was an ecclesia. It was people called together for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to kill Paul and the other Christians, right? Because he interfered with the worship of Artemis. So Jesus said, look, I'm going to build my group of people. I'm going to have a group of people. Well, God, I thought the whole world is your group. Well, the whole world belongs to me, but not everyone in the world has chosen to be part of me. And I am here trying to redeem everyone who on their own voluntary decision decide to come into my kingdom. Those are mine. Here's mine. Whoever recognizes my authority comes into relation with me is mine. Now one day all of creation answers to him, yes. But for right now, this is his ecclesia. Those that have been called out of the world into his kingdom. It's you. It's me. And we weren't called out because we're better than anybody else. No. We're called out because God just loves us. But you know what? He loves the guy that's cursing him right now just as much as he loves me that's been trying to serve him. God doesn't look at me and go, wow, well, Sheridan's just so much better. Let me just spend my time. No. But Sheridan has responded. I get to enjoy being in relationship with God. I get to enjoy that. The other person's on their own by their choice. And God will not force them to accept him. And so their alienation is of their own doing. But that's why we're still here, to give people the message and let them know God still loves you. You've messed up. Hey, I've messed up. You want to share mess up stories? Let's do it. But I'm telling you this, he can forgive you. And that's what it's all about. This is not a surprise that on the day of Pentecost, people would assemble together. Look over in John chapter 13. What does Jesus say? John 13, the night he's betrayed. Now keep in mind, he has in mind, I'm going to build my group of people, my community, I will build them. He hadn't built them yet. He hadn't built them yet. But he says, now here's going to be the passport. Here's proof. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. For by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Do you know what distinguishes us from atheists? It's not only belief, and it's not intelligence or anything else. Agnostics, Muslims, Jewish, Hindu, all of the different ideas, philosophies, the one thing supposed to distinguish us is the love we are to have for one another. That's supposed to be the difference. We don't see that in today's society, do we? How many people right now in the United States of America are going to church? And how many people are in that community, that assembly, that resent each other? Or they're only with my own kind? Or there's all these other reasons. And the whole time saying, oh, Jesus, you're Lord. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Oh, and Jesus going, what in the world is going on? The very badge, the very sign that says you are genuine, you are really my disciples, that you love one another. It ought to be something that people look at and go, how come they get along? How come they spend time with each other? How come it's not just white folks, black folks, Asian folks, this folk, Hispanic folk? Why are they doing it? And not just sitting together, but actually spending time together. What is it? It ought to cause people to notice, but it's not something we can fake. It's not something we can put on. Oh, you know what? That's what the Bible says. Hi, Daniel. You're from Africa originally. I'm from Florida originally. How are you? You know, it's no. That is so fake. It reeks. You know? Or the great thing, Sunday morning, hi, brother. How are you? So good to have you here. You know? And it's like, I'm not going to see him again. I don't want to see him again after this. Right? You don't be fanatical about it. I mean, all of this garbage that we've accepted. Now, I'm talking in broad strokes. Let me talk about me and you here. Staten Island region. Yep. Someone were to come in here, would they say, there's something different? I don't want us to act different. I just want us to be different in Jesus' way. Yeah. I want us to say, you know what? I need to love everyone here the way Christ loved me. Can I get with everyone, spend all this time? No, we're confined. But I tell you what, there is a love, a concern, a genuineness that we can have that should be something different. And it's not that we've got to psych it up or invent it. Keep in mind, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. What is the first that's mentioned? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. I cannot love you on my own power. I can't do that. I got a witness back here too. They said I can't, all right? I don't have that power, that ability. You know why? There's sometimes you irk me. Individually. And if you don't irk me, I'll guarantee I irk you. Alright? We got a mutual irking society at times. In and of ourselves, no. There's certain things that you may like that I think, that's kind of a waste of time. And there are things I may like, and you say, that's a waste of time. Or, you know, Sheridan's personality doesn't, and your personality, and, you know, you're from a different background racially and culturally, and I'm from a yada, 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 yada. All right? But if you have the Holy Spirit of God, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. You've denied the faith then. That's the only thing. We've got calf's liver instead of peanut butter pie, folks. We've got to go back. Something's wrong. And we've got to change that. Well, I'm not a loving person. Aren't you so glad it's the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I wasn't loved as a child, and that's a tragedy. But aren't you glad it's the fruit of the Spirit then? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be something if all of heaven and your acceptability is placed on your own effort? Come on, Leslie. Come on. You've got to be loving. If you have the Holy Spirit, you start with an ability to be able to love. Do you know everything? No, love is something you grow in. But you got the ability. So, on the day of Pentecost, the first thing that happened is all the people that got baptized, boom, they came together. Could it be any other way? You see, the architect, the head chef, so to speak, everything he cooked up was that he was going to have his people. And he was going to have them love each other the way he loved them. So they had to be together. There was no other way. And it wasn't being forced. It was invoked, the new life they had. This is what you do. First thing I did when I got baptized, I about took Sam Lang under the water with me. I was so happy, I had to grab somebody, and he baptized me. I just grabbed him and hugged him. It was a natural response. I was going around hugging everything. I hugged visitors. They probably didn't want to get hugged. But I went ahead and did it. I was so cleansed of all the crud in my life. And I wasn't that outward of a guy. What happened? Something got hold of me. That's all that happened. I went home, tried to get my roommates to come to church. Nobody said, you know, Sheridan, you really need to think about the Great Commission. Go make disciples. Nobody told me that. I just figured, gosh, if you care for people, I want them to have this too. I mean, it was that simple. It was that simple. Guys, how are we doing here? What are the things we tell ourselves about church and why we can't be close? Yeah, well, you can't get with everybody. But why can't the ones you do get with, it be meaningful? Why can't when we assemble, it be genuine? What is it? How are we doing in that area? What's going on? It's no surprise that Christ orchestrated and designed community. That's the first truth we've got to hold on to. And when you hold on to that, a lot of the old stuff's got to come out. Old ideas of church. It's where I go to confess. I had somebody teaching a class in a gym that used profanity, said, I got to go to church this Sunday. And I thought, you know what? That's typical of people's idea of church. Whenever you, quote, do something wrong or sin, well, better go to church. Why? It's going to cleanse it? That's not going to help you. It's not going to help you at all. Unless you want to really walk the life. But it's like patronizing God. Do you like to be patronized? No, you don't like that. God doesn't either. He's smarter than that. So that won't help, but that's some people's idea of church. How about the just in case of faith? Just in case it's all true, I'm going to tell God, look, I was there X amount of times. Let's go back to the ledger books. Look at, you know, a lot more good than bad than, oh my goodness. No, that isn't what the church is for. That's not the purpose of the community. What about family tradition? You know, I think about all of our kids that come through here. The biggest fear I have for them is that this would become a tradition for them. One day when they decide, hey, I'm going to go to church, let me just go where mom and dad went. Hey, I hope they will give where mom and dad went a chance. But I don't want them to do it just because mom and dad did it. I want them to do it because, you know what? Jesus is there. I can learn about him. I can open. That's the point, not just family tradition. So I've talked about this enough. Let me go on to the other thing. Not only is this what Jesus, it's not no secret that this happened. But also, Jesus' church is comprised of committed people. Mm. Now, one thing about commitment, you don't have to be strong to be committed. I'm not talking about super strong people that don't do anything wrong. No. If you feel like, man, I've had a rough week, I need help, you're at the right place. It's not right place for forgiveness. God gives you forgiveness. The right place to get help on learning how to live the Christian life. You're at the right place. You don't have to be strong to be committed, but you do. It's an act of will. You do have to be decisive. You have to decide, you know what? This isn't going well in my life. I'm not who I ought to be. Therefore, I will. You need to do that. And that well may be, man, Dwight, I need you to help me out. You know, Damaris, can you give me some scriptures? Can you do that? Ramon, can we get some time to pray together? It may be a variety of things. But see, any person, weak or what, can do all those things. None of that is based on intelligence, talents, ability. It's all a matter of will. And so in Acts 2:42, what do you see? They, Christ's community, that which was produced by the Holy Spirit, devoted themselves. And notice what they devoted themselves to. Each of these four areas are totally devoid of talent, ability, or of strength. Each of these four areas of devotion and committed are something any person can do. If you hold a mirror under their nose and it fogs, they can do this stuff. All right? They can do that. Look at the first thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Right here, guys, how are we doing in that? How committed are we to the apostles' teaching? It's the Word of God. How consistent are you in studying the Word of God? What books do you read to enhance your knowledge about the apostles' teaching? What podcasts do you listen to? What sermons online or anything? But what are you doing that, man, I am committed to the apostles' teaching? Or if it's like, well, I didn't really get to it today. How's that commitment? How is that commitment? Well, if I do it, I'll just become legalistic. So I tell you what, do it, but don't be legalistic about it. How can I do that? Open your heart to God and say, let me just love you. Let me be, and then you do want to do it. But that is being devoted there, being devoted to the fellowship. Think about that. Four years ago, shortly after I got here, I remember getting with somebody. And I asked them, I said, man, how come you don't come to midweek? And they said to me, well, here's the thing. I just don't get anything out of it. I said, okay. Why did you think it was about you in the first place? Why did you think that midweek was about you in the first place? See, the early disciples were committed to the fellowship. They were committed to it. They were there for one another. They were there to make sure that they were going to work together for the glory of God, for the advancing of the gospel. They were together. And it didn't matter. They didn't have to be entertained. They didn't have to be coerced. They didn't have to be coaxed. They didn't have to be bribed. Just, where do I need to be that would encourage and help God's cause? But Sheridan, can things go wrong? You know, absolutely they can. But you know, bottom line, we try and do things and have times together that will work at this time so that everyone get all their responsibilities done. But I tell you what, if we're not committed to the fellowship, there's an issue there. We don't have peanut butter pie in front of us. Something happened right there. We've got to look at each other and say, the church is supposed to bring people mature in Christ. You've heard me enough to know. If my sermons have helped you, amen. That's what I want them to do. But this isn't enough, guys. I'm just pointing direction. It is when you get with one another and share what God is doing that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts changing your heart. I'm just to say, here's a signpost. Think about this. But we've got to get together and say, Dwight, you know, I was thinking about a fellowship, and I don't feel good being here. What would you do? And Dwight will share the things that God's doing in his heart, and I'll go back and study, and I'll start changing. I need Dwight. I need a Serena. I need Bill. I need Sebastian. I'll go right down. I need you all. And I need you when we talk, and we talk about that. I love football, and I don't mind sharing about it. But I tell you what, I will share the Gators won yesterday. But bottom line, that's just an aside thought. But seriously, I need to talk to you about other things that will last forever. I love Formula One. I want to talk to you about other things. I love different philosophies and things like that, but I want to talk to you about things that build my faith, and I want to hear from you, and you've got to help me out because you have a different insight than I do. We've got to be devoted to the fellowship. We've got to ask for advice from one another. I don't know how to live as a Christian in a business world. I'm not in that. But we got folks here that do. How do you do that and not compromise? How do you do that in life-saving things? We got guys here, and Bill, Roosevelt, things like that, you know, in life-saving things. How do you do as a Christian? And Dave and all these guys, I don't know. They do. We don't. None of us knows everything. But I tell you what, the more we share with each other, how do I live as Christ's person?
Right.
We can help each other. But it takes commitment. It takes commitment. It takes talking to each other. It takes sharing what God is doing with each other. I'd love that in our fellowship. Here's something I want to challenge you with. Don't leave any gathering we get without sharing one thing that God's doing in your life that you're learning, and learning one thing God's doing in other people's lives. Don't leave till you do that. And you know what's going to happen? The whole body's going to get built up. Thirdly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Later on, I'll talk about they broke bread in homes. With glad and sincere hearts, I personally believe that this breaking of bread is talking about the communion. They were committed to that. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he says, I passed on to you what is of first importance, that Christ died for your sins. And he goes through and talks about the fact he was raised on the third day. Breaking bread. Why do we do communion every week? To help us remember. Remember the point. Remember the purpose. Remember, in a world of many responsibilities, of overwhelming things, what is most important? Sometimes you hear phrases, you know, women and children first, America first, this first, that first. All these are good. I'm all fine. There's a disaster, I'm going to go women and children first, all right? Ladies first. My dad taught me that. He was all over my case till the day he died. If I did not get out of the car, walk around, open the door for Deb, oh, I would hear about it. He lived with us the last 5 years of his life. I raised you better than that. You're going to be a Southern gentleman. You're going to do that. It would be in blizzard conditions. I'd walk, go get the car. I'd sit in the car trying to unthaw. I'd pull up. It's a 15-foot walk. And he'd go, I can't believe you didn't get out of the car. And he'd be saying, they're 89 years old. Deb would go, Dad, get in the car. Get in the car. It's too cold. No, I'm not getting in the car. You get in, you know. He'd open it for her. And then for the rest of the ride, it'd be all over my case. Why didn't you get out and do it? I'm old school. I believe ladies first, too, okay? But let me tell you what's the greatest first of all. Before all those good things is Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection first. First. You got to be committed to that. Because if you're not, you're going to be influenced by all sorts of different values and ideas. And brothers and sisters, we got to help each other remember that is who we are. And that takes commitment. That takes seeing one another, praying with one another, sharing with one another, but making sure, Daniel, do you remember why we're here? You know what? We come together, there are a lot of bad things that can happen. And we need to bear one another's burdens. But sometimes people always just talk about all the hard times they're going through. What they really need to be reminded of is, why are you here? What's the whole point? That hill on Calvary, that empty tomb. That's the point. And now all my problems, all my challenges, all my loves, all comes from that. And now I got things in the right alignment. And then the last thing, we devote ourselves to prayer. How is our prayer life? You know, heaven is God's sphere. Earth is our sphere. When we pray, heaven and earth come together. It's heaven on earth. Well, I don't feel like it's heaven on earth. I'm crying my eyes out in prayer. No, the divine and the secular are in one place when you pray. And one day, heaven will be everywhere in the renewal of all things. Right now, we get a foretaste of that. We get to pray and praise God in the midst of a world that sometimes is very beautiful and sometimes is very not beautiful. But we do it anyway. You know why? Because the divine is here. How many people times do you get with people here and you get together to pray? How often do you do that? How often do we do that? These people were devoted to that. These people were committed to being people of prayer. Think about this. I know there's a lot that we could go on and do, but I don't want us to just lose it all in all the different details. I want us to stop and think about us here at Staten Island. Singers, why don't you guys be making your way forward? And while they're doing that, we are a community not because we sit in close proximity with each other, or not because we come to the same place at the same time on Sundays. We are a community because that's what Jesus intended. That's what he baked. That's what the recipe he uses is supposed to produce. We're a community because we believe in him and we've given our life to him. But what is supposed to make us his community is the fact we share that unique love and we are committed. We're committed to the apostles' teaching, we're committed to the fellowship, we're committed to breaking bread, and we're committed to prayer. And what's going to be the result? Anything is only as powerful and effective as the materials from which it is built. You take termite-infested wood, build a house, you'll have a pretty structure for a little while, then it all comes down, right? I don't want anyone here to go and change your behavior just to, hey, that's the right thing to do. No, I want you to beg God, Father, help me to be the person you created me to be. Yes. What do I need to change? I have the power to love. Let me open my heart more to one another. Let me resolve things. Let me be more committed person. Let me talk and get help. I don't care if right now you feel like the weakest person, the most hopeless person. None of that matters. Christ is Christ. He is the Lord God Almighty. He specializes in renewing all things. Wherever you are, just make that decision. I am going to be part of God's community that he created. Not us. He created. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the community you've given us. God, help us to be the people that you want us to be. Stir our hearts. Open our hearts. I know you've given us everything. You've given us the power. You've given us the promises. Most importantly, you've given us your presence to live within us. And Father, as we do that, I pray that the community that you build through us will be something that will spread hope to people throughout the Staten Island region and also spread hope to each one of our lives that we can change, we can grow, we can be everything that you've intended for us to be. You love us so much, we are deeply grateful for that, Father. We honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name.